And it ruined everything. You guys are not late. We started early. I wanted to tell a brief story before I introduce Andy, or as I introduce Andy to share this morning. Very briefly, I have told this story, but it's a very meaningful story to me, and I actually just shared this with Andy for the first time. But I grew up not in the church, and when I was 18, I met Jesus in my bedroom after reading the Bible and understanding it. And about 7 or 8 months later, I found my way into a vineyard church like this. It was a different church than this, but it was a vineyard church across town. And it was about half the size at the time, maybe a little less than half the size. And I was going through a lot. I had a tremendous amount of brokenness in my own life, and very much had no family and really only one friend, and had been through some really difficult things as a teenager, like many of us in the room. But I encountered God in my bedroom, and my life began to change dramatically. And then I was invited to church, and I wandered into church, and it was, by that time I was 19, and I remember, like it was yesterday, walking into that church, and it was so strange to me. All these people, I'd seen churches my whole life, but here I was in this church, and I was in the church now, and there were all these people, and they were singing songs. Some of them were very emotional. They were this morning sort of like some of us, lifting our hands, bowing down. And I thought, man, this is weird. This is just strange. But there was something that really attracted me to it. So I sat through the service, and somebody talked about something, and I went home, and I thought, I got to go back to that place. And then I went back a second time the next week, and I just felt something happening in this draw. And there was this one song they would sing. It was called Daniel 9, and it just was a very simple song taken from Daniel 9. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps with us his covenant of love. And so I just felt the Lord just maybe like you, just kind of pulling me. So I went back the third week, and worship was happening, and you know, people were, and I was standing there, and I was just having this moment where I remember this one song ended, and I just told God, I said, God, if they would just sing that Daniel 9 song again, I'm going to try this thing. And like 1 second later, the lyrics popped up, Daniel 9. And they began this music and singing, and I just began to sing, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all of his people. And I felt like a bomb went off inside of my soul, from which I have never recovered, as I began to relate to God in that way. And it was a beautiful start of something wonderful for me. I was filled with the Holy Spirit again. My life changed dramatically. And 30 years later, I got to meet Andy Park, who wrote that song. And he began mentoring me. He visited us here 6 or 7 years ago, and then we've been talking on a regular basis ever since then. And so I just told him that story the other day. Like, you know, this is actually like interesting that was such an impact. And over the last many years, Andy's been in ministry for about 50 years. He's traveled across the entire globe, influenced millions in worship, just very influential in the vineyard movement, and also a great guy. He has 8 children. He is from Canada. And yesterday was his 45-year wedding anniversary. And so he's a wonderful guy, good friend. It's our absolute honor to have him speaking this morning. I want to welcome Andy Park.
Thanks. Jeff's a good friend, and you guys have a good church. Man, I got zapped this morning. I was just soaking it up, and I love that the kids are in here this morning. Welcome, kids. I think we have a few special things for you this morning. In fact, I would love to include you in the ministry time at the end, and if you want to, we'll pray for you. And I love mixing in the kids with the adults, and as I watched this little two-year-old running with great joy back and forth, I thought back on when I had my third son, and my wife was still singing me with at that point, and so she was on the stage with me, and she asking some people to take care of the kids, our first three, during the worship. And then as she's worshiping, she's looking out and saying, "Those are my kids running around like wild banshees all around." And she figured out, well, maybe my time on the worship team is done. But all eight of my kids ended up grabbing the torch, and they've all played in worship bands. Some still doing it now, and some in mega churches, some in home groups, and it's awesome. So what I, in this short little time this morning, what I want to share with you is some of my history in the Vineyard, and even look at the history of the Holy Spirit working all throughout the entire Bible, the entire history of God's people, to give us a perspective of where we are on the timeline of God's moving throughout history, to assure us that we're on the right path and God is with us and He's never going to leave us. And before that, I just have to share this awesome story. I've had a great time here the last few days. Last night, Jeff and I went for a walk 4 miles around his neighborhood. And part of the journey was through an area that had a lot of ponds. So we're walking along, and these two big ducks, just made a beeline from the other side of the street. They're quacking, quacking, quacking all the way, just like yapping, yapping, yapping. And they're just walking right towards Jeff and I. And I was thinking, wow, did they see the Holy Spirit on us or something? Is that why they're excited? Anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you right now, but I just had to tell you that story. Later on in the message, kids, we're going to have a little story about goats, and I hope to show you a little video. My third son and his family just got baby goats and sheep and a puppy, all in a span of 3 weeks. So that's going to tie into what we're talking about here. So last October was my 50th anniversary in the Vineyard, and it makes you, every time I say that, I just, how in the world did God choose me and bless me so much and help me to get through all of my struggles, recover from my mistakes, and just heap more blessings on me than I could ever imagine. You know, it just astounding to me. I was this shy kid growing up. I played the guitar only in my bedroom. Never wanted to sing in front of anybody, or definitely never wanted to speak in front of anybody. And I found the Lord my first year in Los Angeles. By the way, I am from Los Angeles, and then I moved to Canada later in my life. And so when I found God in my freshman year at university, I had an experience similar to what Jeff just described. And little did I know that was the beginning of a lifelong journey of knowing God and sharing my knowledge of God, sharing what it's like to have a interactive relationship with God throughout your days, not just while in church, but to do what we were doing. We're singing to God, we're listening. It's such a beautiful heritage of worship we have, where we are in a conversation with God. And I like to use the word magic, even though it's not magic, it's just the Holy Spirit. But the thing that happens when the temple of God, which is y'all, you know, that's how Paul wrote his letters, say, you all are the temple of God. You are where the Holy Spirit dwells. Another way of saying that is that you are the address of God on the earth. And something amazing happens when we gather And it doesn't matter whether it's one person leading or maybe no instruments or a full band, or you're out in the field and you're holding hands with three people in a circle. The magic of God showing up, walking into the room, you know, is offered to all of us. And yet, as magical and powerful as that is, it's not nearly enough, because those times only make up a few hours of our week, right? And where the rubber meets the road is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm happy to say that I experience more of the presence of God now every day of the week than I ever have, even though I've been present for the entire history of the Vineyard, in which we have experienced many church renewals, been all over the world. And yet, just because I kept going through all the trials and joys, God decided about 7 years to start opening the door to heaven a little bit wider for me. And I've come out of a time of more hiddenness, more like way less travel, way less anything impressive. Like, just stay home, care for the people right around you, lead worship in small churches, lead worship for the poor and while they're having dinner. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that it's worth the long, slow race of faithfulness to see God gradually impart more and more wisdom to you and enable you to be more and more comfortable in your own skin as you figure out who you are. I am in union with Christ. That's what you figure out, that God's not out there. God is out there somewhere, but God's here. And you experience that more and more, which is what Paul prays for us. It's what Jesus promises to us, that we make our home in God and God makes his home in us. And I mean, think about that. It's one of those paradoxes in the teachings of Jesus. Don't try too hard to analyze that, but you just realize, oh, that means we are in union. Like Paul says, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ in me. And so it is Paul, and it is Christ, and it's the joining of our human spirit with the Spirit of God. And day by day, we learn how to walk in that. So I'm going to attempt a very quick review of the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the history, beginning with Genesis, where this was a time where people saw waters or oceans as a dark thing, as a dangerous thing, that waters were actually, in the minds of the writers of the book of Genesis, a symbol of chaos and confusion. And so into this atmosphere of chaos and confusion comes the Holy Spirit, who channeled the waters into a river that appeared in the Garden of Eden and made sense, made order, brought order to chaos. Now, we kind of live in a world of chaos, don't we? There's order in our family lives and private world most of the time, we hope. But around the world, man, if somebody doesn't have the assurance that God is with us, I can see how a lot of people are filled with anxiety and worry. And by the way, the studies show that there's more anxious young people today than ever. And so this began all the way back at creation, where God came in and began to bring order into this world of chaos. And it reminds me of a beautiful version of the well-known scripture where Jesus says, Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's usually how we hear that scripture. Well, one of the versions of the Bible, the Passion Translation, is kind of almost more of a paraphrase. It's not an exact translation. But that translation says, are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Come to me, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. He's like a pool, a gentle pool of water where we can go drink, sit, be refreshed, sit in the shade. And over the last 2 days, a bunch of us that are involved in worship and leadership here, we spent some time doing that, just sitting in the oasis of God's love and presence. And it was a good time. So that's point one on the history timeline of the Holy Spirit. The second point is the Psalms. You move ahead several hundred years. And a few highlight verses of that would be Psalm 46:4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, which means the people of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And so gladness, joy, that speaks of this kind of gathering, the joy of being together and knowing community and with one another and with God. But then there's another one that kind of illustrates more our private life of worship, and that is Psalm 1, that we who delight in the law of the Lord, we meditate day and night, we are like trees planted along the riverbank, drawing up the nourishing water from the river of God. We're planted there, and we are constantly soaking up that nourishing water. And that is something I try to do every day, and I have habits in place that help me do that, that I've been practicing for a long, long time. One of my newer habits of soaking up God in the last 7 years is doing prayer walks. It was the year before COVID that I started doing that. And just discovering that if I go and start walking, even in my own neighborhood, or if I go to a park, my brain goes into a different state where the anxiety is decreased. And I am seeing with my eyes God's creation. And I live in Vancouver, Canada, where it rains a lot, but we have beautiful skies. Sometimes all I have to do is walk out my front door, look up, and I just see God. Sometimes I see God so powerfully, I just start crying, like a half a minute into my prayer walk, because I've dedicated that time to, okay, I'm going to go be with you. I'm going to get away from my computer, away from my house chores, away from everything that is yelling at me. This is your to-do list, and I'm walking, and I'm not looking at my cell phone. I mean, that's an example of, okay, I'm going to go get a drink from this river. That's one way to do it. And so even if I'm tired after dinner or sometime in the later part of the day, I'll do that. It might be pouring rain. So I have an umbrella and lots of clothes on. Right now, hallelujah, spring is here. So sometimes I just cruise slowly and try it. And you guys live in a beautiful part of the country. Great place to absorb God by just, even if all you're doing is giving thanks, praying some prayers of gratitude, make up a little song of thanks, and to put you in a perspective of, man, am I ever blessed, even though I got problems. Okay, timeline point three, the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah speaks of the rivers that will flow on the barren heights and the springs within the valleys. So I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. And so it's the promise of, if you feel like you're walking through a desert, God can do that. He can bring the river to you. And you have to, but you have to want it. You know, the part of the one, some of the lines in that song, when you walk into the room, we want you more than anything. Is it something like that? Well, what we really want, God will help us in our search for Him, but He won't do all the work for us. We have to decide, okay, I am going to, in my desire to drink this water of life, I have to decide to say no to 1,000 other drinks that are being offered to me through the internet, like drinks that are not so good for me. And boy, God is right there. As soon as we turn to Him, He's there to help us as our counselor, our guide. And I'm amazed that when I just turn my gaze on God, if I can get quiet, I can find Him. Not always in a dramatic way, but I can have that sense of connection. And I need that so much. Next point on the river, this is a big one, Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel saw a vision of a river that originated in a trickle running down the temple stairs. Let's show that photo. This is not the exact stairs that Ezekiel saw, because he saw a vision. We don't know exactly what he saw. But this was kind of a foretelling of the tradition that would happen in the time of Jesus, and we'll get to that one in a minute. But anyway, Ezekiel saw the river beginning just as a little trickle down these stairs, and then it became a river that grew bigger and bigger, and Ezekiel himself experienced that river, first of all up to his ankles, then his knees, and then finally up to his chest. He couldn't even walk through the river. And maybe you guys have had some experiences of the Holy Spirit touching you in a way that is kind of like that picture. Maybe not. But, boy, if you've been around the Vineyard for 50 years, we've had a lot of those seasons where the river is running high, you know, and life-changing, but again, it's not enough, because the conference lasts 3 days and then you go back to work. Or the Sunday morning lasts great, and then by the time Monday morning gets around, you need to keep drinking. You need to keep consuming the goodness, the refreshing water of God. Now, let's jump ahead, actually, to the very last step on the timeline, the book of Revelation. We see another garden there, and we see the trees, again, planted by the river of the water of life, bearing fruit in all seasons. And I had an encouraging word given to me one time, that you are evergreen. Well, in order to be evergreen, you have to be planted by the river. And you have to keep pursuing it. Seeking first the kingdom is not something that you do just to get into the kingdom. It's an ongoing thing. So, in order to get through this message, let me go back now to the book of John, where Jesus himself is interrupting the Feast of Tabernacles. This was an annual feast that they had, and so everybody would come and camp in tents. Any of you kids ever been camping? Yeah, cool. So they would come and they would camp in their tents, and the climax, the pinnacle of this festival, was on the last day, where the priests had there was a tradition. They would go up to the top of those temple steps. If we could look at those steps again, and a bunch of priests would gather these huge ceremonial jars, these cisterns of water, and they would pour the water down from the top of the stairs as a symbol of the Holy Spirit that they were expecting to come and bring refreshing to their people. But Jesus, when this climactic point of the pouring of the water was reached in this festival with thousands of people there, Jesus interrupted it and said, "I am the water of life. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Wow, he was bold. And that was because he knew who he was. And boy, did he tick those priests off, man, when he did that. Who do you think you are to say that? I'm sure they were thinking. And yet we know it's true. And then he said, "And anyone who believes in me, rivers of living water will gush from you." That's a good promise. And it's not just a trickle. It's there. But we can't discover it unless we get quiet. And so that's why on Friday and Saturday we had a lot of times of quiet listening. To know the river of God, you have to become a good listener. And so in our noisy world of social media and all the digital gadgets we have, we have to just say, okay, I want to find that oasis. I want to go there. I want to go drink that water. And then we get in touch with the river that actually is living inside of us. So I'm kind of jumping around on the timeline here, but look at the second to last point. It's vineyard, which it's kind of funny the way I put this timeline together. It looks like that's a universally impacting point. It's not for everybody in the world, but for us it is because we're part of the vineyard. It's just a little tiny movement compared to all of the historic denominations. But there's about 24 to 2,500 vineyard churches around the world. We're in about 95 countries around the world. And so that's significant. And we get to be part of it. And the grace of God, wow, when you think about God saved this guy out of being a rock and roll musician. His marriage was on the rocks, so he was desperate for God. And so he was driving on the freeway. I think he was coming home from a gig in Las Vegas. He was living in Southern California. And he just pulled over and said, "God, help me, you know, fix my marriage." And within the next few days, his wife, who was separated from him, called him. And he then said, "Wow, I'm in touch with the supernatural," because he actually prayed to God. I don't know if that was maybe the first time in his life he actually prayed a prayer. And then just the unfolding of so much healing and salvation over the last five decades. And this church is an example of that. And man, as I've gotten to know Jeff and Jennifer, and this, you guys got something special here. And I feel like the Lord really led me to share this because He wants you, Vineyard Community Church, to know this is your legacy. This history of the Holy Spirit is your inheritance. And the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you as a church community and as an individual. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to desert you. And you know what's ahead of you. You know the picture of heaven. It's just the ongoing river. And you're in the river. And so be at peace. And so as we consider that, and by the way, I just think Jeff is an awesome pastor because he has led you guys through all kinds of seasons of challenge and difficulty, you know, COVID and all kinds of people coming and going. And that's one huge reason why churches survive. Some survive and some don't. Strong leadership, godly leadership. And I've seen a lot of people go by the wayside. And Jeff and Jennifer are lifers. They're not going anywhere. They are capable, strong, trustworthy leaders. So let's just, as I wrap up here, let's talk about, okay, how do we keep consuming more and more of God? And now if we could show that video, if we got it working, I'll just give a little intro to this video. So this is my third son's, my wife and I happened to be there when the baby goats arrived, okay? They were like 2 days old. There's two goats. Daisy showed up first, the girl, and then the boy, that's my wife, the boy is named Bob Dylan. Look, it was slipping on the floor. So these guys,
Daisy, yeah.
There's Daisy, and that's a vinyl floor, which is good because those goats peed all over it when I was there. My son and his wife are very relaxed. You know, whatever. You just wipe it up, spray some stuff on it. But they were, you know, now they're in the barn. A few days later after we left. So this is the feeding. In fact, let's just show it again. And I want you to watch how these goats guzzle the milk. Like every, few, I don't know how many hours, they get 5 ounces. Look at that. This guzzle, 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 all the way down. And that is a picture of, okay, God created, and what they're drinking, of course, is mama's milk, which God created just for them. It's just what they need. They need 5 ounces every so many hours. And the thing about the goats, though, is there is a responsible person to feed them. But we have to choose what we're going to drink. We have to choose, and man, there's a lot of bad drinks out there. So we have to just keep going for it with very simple habits that we develop of immersing ourselves in the truth in the presence of God, which, man, the internet is such a powerful tool for that, but the internet is also such a potentially like a black pit of darkness. So we all just have to make that choice. And so now let's just have a time of prayer and some worship, because my goal was to end it at 11:25. And look at, I'm actually doing it, because I know that the brain can only absorb so much this blah, 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 blah. You know, like what those ducks were doing when they came over to me and Jeff. That's right. Oh, man, that was the most... And Jeff has marched on, has walked that road hundreds of times, and he's never seen those ducks before until yesterday. And... I don't know. I just think I'm weird enough to think that was a God thing. Yeah. I'm going to sing, lead us in a song that is, it doesn't matter if you've never heard it before. Yeah, I can sit. That's fine. I'll transition to a different mic here and... check in like 40 years, because it was around when I was in the very first Vineyard church I ever was in, which was West Los Angeles. And thanks. Maybe some of you actually know it. I bet there's at least a few of you that know it. I guess I should move this over here.
Don't sit on your table.
Yeah, and it's called Cause Me to Come to Thy River. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Yeah. I knew somebody in my age group would be familiar with that. Yeah, thank you. Amen. Thank you. So, cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Lord, that's our prayer. We want to come and drink of you. And God, you're so generous because the river is always there. It's always here. Why don't we, why don't you guys stand up? Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come, cause me to drink, cause me to live. Cause me to drink, cause me to drink from your river, O Lord. Cause me to drink from your river, O Lord. Cause me to drink from your river, O Lord. Cause me to come, cause me to drink, cause me to live. Lord, we want to want what you want us to want. We ask you, Lord, to channel our desires in the right direction. And I know that the way God does it is by us just developing habits to choose him. And even to the point where we're living in that river, which actually, you know, spiritually speaking, we are. Because Paul says, you have been raised to heavenly places. You are now seated in heavenly places. So cause me to live.
Cause me to live in your river, O Lord. Cause me to live in your river, O Lord. Cause me to live in your river, O Lord. Cause me to come. Cause me to drink. Cause me to live.
So while we're going to keep worshiping, I want to invite anybody who wants to come up here and just take a drink. Take another drink. Another drink of God, and it's maybe kind of a way of saying to God, I want to have those habits. I want to have the habits of drinking from you, making sure I'm not drinking the wrong stuff. Yeah, and actually, let's invite the children. For any of you kids that want to come up and get prayed for, just to be blessed in your life. You know, think about what I said. If you remember, I said, I was that 17-year-old shy kid. Didn't want to sing in front of anybody. Didn't want to. I just like to stay in my room, play my guitar. And
yeah. I'd like to just invite all kids and teenagers. I would like to pray, if you're can be brave enough, I want to invite all the kids and teens to come and receive. If you're in that group, come on up here. Come on up. Even if it's your first time, come on up, all the kids and teens. And then I'm going to need a lot of adults to help. So you guys just spread out. You can spread out into these aisles. I know it's crammed in here. We'll just deal with it. If you don't have room, you can spill back there. Just fill it up. It's totally fine. And let's have some adults now. We're just going to get real messy today, which is perfect. Perfect fits in with the Gospels. So let's have some of the adults. We need a bunch of you, because there's at least 40 kids up here that need prayer. So that means we need like 40 to 80 adults. So come on up, begin to lay your hands on them. Now, kids, if you're getting prayer, you might just close your eyes. That kind of helps you concentrate. And we have a mass of teenagers and kids over here. Y'all just push your way through the crowd, lay your hands on them, and the simple prayer is, Holy Spirit, come fill this one, the next generation. We need some female adults up here in the center. Just push your way through. Just push whoever out of the way. It's okay. If you knock over a plant or something, it doesn't matter. People are more important than plants. I just want to make sure everyone has someone praying for them.
Yes, Lord, we bless these children right now. Bless these children to be aware of the river of God that is in them. To have a growing, every day a little bit of a glimpse more of the beauty, Lord, of who you are.
Yes.
Lord, you choose every single one of us to be the receivers of these blessings. It's not based on how smart we are. It's not based on anything. You have no prejudice. You give freely to everyone who just turns to you. Lord, we pray for the decades ahead of these children. We pray for a glorious ride in your river for them, Lord, as they navigate the challenges of life. I ask, Lord, that you would even begin to give these kids dreams and visions and words from you.
Yes.
That as they read their Bibles, they would think, wow, look at that. That is amazing.
I just really feel as we're praying, and this isn't a thing to rush. We've got a few more minutes. As we're praying, we don't realize the power of the seeds, the mustard seeds that are being prayed. And it's not just now, it's us and our children listening to the gospel, and it's us and our children singing, even if we don't even sing all the songs. But now in this moment, the seeds that we are planting and saying that the next generation is important and the next generation would receive of the Holy Spirit, all that he would do in their lives, those seeds are incredibly powerful.
Yes.
And so, Father, we don't despise the day of small things, of small people, of young people. We don't despise those things. We say that your strength is here. Your promise is to the next generation. And we bless them with your power, your love. I pray just with Andy again, just for your outpouring on the young and the old. But this morning we pray for the young, that they would have dreams and visions, that they would see signs, that they would fall in love with your word, that they would hear your voice in the middle of the night, that they would experience things they can't explain. They will experience the power of a living God. in their lives. So Holy Spirit, touch, come, fill.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Fall afresh on us. Yes, Lord. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. You open our hearts. You open our minds. You open our calendars to you, Lord.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us, Spirit of the living God, fall.
I want to just let you guys pray as we kind of end without the music. There may be some prophecy and specific things. So in a minute, I'm going to dismiss us. And if you're done, you're done. But if you're not done and you feel there's more, I want to encourage you guys to take your time. I did have one other thought this morning. There's a number of us here. The word I gave earlier during worship or at the end, There's some of us right now that you're almost at a place right now where you just can't even function in this room because the weight of the Lord is upon you so strongly. And in some ways, it might even be uncomfortable for you. And I want to encourage you, if you're in that place, you're not a bad person or failing. It's because the weight you feel on you is that God is drawing you to Him, and He's inviting you to come to Him in whatever it is you're carrying, and He's inviting you to surrender, and He wants to come, and He wants to make life where right now there's oppression and death. So if you're feeling that on you, and it's a little bit of like an uncomfortable thing, but it's also a wonderful thing when we find ourselves in the presence of God like that. And if you're in that place, I just want to encourage you that God is calling to you right now. He's calling to you to come to Him and surrender yourself to Him. And He has something really, really, really wonderful for you if you would make the choice to drink from that river. So I'm going to pray, and if you're continuing in prayer, stay and do that. If you feel like it's over, you can be dismissed, but I'd like to pray a blessing over us. Father, we invite you to just do all the things that we've read and talked about this morning, and we say you are certainly welcome. May your kingdom rather, may we be people that love and long for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for Andy and his influence in the vineyard and the church around the world and visiting us. We pray your blessing on his kids, his grandkids, his goats. or their goats, and his marriage of 45 years, his travels home, may it be one that's full of rest and peace in the midst of a long journey. And just, Lord, bless him for giving to us this morning. We bless you. We thank you for all you're doing in the name of Jesus. All right, amen. If you're still praying, take your time. If you feel like that's still happening, those who are done, bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful